Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineers and produces the program, and I'm on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 15th of June, midway point in June 2021. What a hot week. Maybe eight straight days with excessive heat and records. This one be a week for the record books. Let's hope we never see this again, but who knows? In the new norm of things, we probably will. Seven major wildfires are burning in Arizona more than any other state in the United States. So we smelled some smoke yesterday afternoon up at our place. So there is smoke is in the air. It's kind of hazy and smazy. And so If possible, stay inside with the cooler running. I'm Bill Buckmaster in our 11th year on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends over at Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Let's go now on the live line to Tempe, Arizona, in the campus of Arizona State University. Dr. Dennis Hoffman is the director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU. Professor Hoffman's sponsored project efforts include the construction and management of the tax revenue forecasting model that is used by the Executive Budget Office of the state of Arizona. He's been doing that each year since 1982. Professor Hoffman, how are you?
Bill, I'm very, very well, thank you, and hope things are great in the old Pueblo.
Yeah, it's a little hot, and I know it's pretty warm up, let's say very hot up where you are, up in Phoenix. But anyway, the Arizona economy looks like it's pretty hot, doesn't it?
You know, overall, Bill, it really is. And, people talk about shapes of recoveries, you know, V-shaped recoveries or long-lasting L-shaped recoveries. We've got to keep reminding folks this is kind of a K, and that is the up leg of the K is where a lot of the money is and where we're seeing a lot of strength. The down leg is in some of our small businesses, some people who are challenged to find that match between their employer and themselves for an array of reasons. So it's a little bit of a mixed message, but overall, when you look at aggregate income, tax revenues pouring in, it's a pretty good story. And so we've weathered this storm, at least so far, very well.
The numbers look very impressive, don't they, then, at the mid-year point as we begin the new fiscal year and the next 12-month program as far as the state of Arizona is concerned?
Right. They really do. Our challenge, I think, as forecasters and analysts, is to try to disentangle how much of our good fortune right now is the result of massive, unprecedented fiscal stimulus, stock markets at all-time highs, the upbeat cycle in the real estate market, and the reopening. I mean, all of those are factors that are surging revenues, and we're trying to figure out how much of this is sustainable and, how much is a one-time thing.
Then we have the state legislature fighting over the budget. Could you summarize for our listeners what's the big hang up here? We have a fiscal year that's ending in a couple of weeks, and I've been around Arizona for over 30 years, 33rd year here. You didn't get off the bus yesterday. Can you remember, just put it mildly, can you remember, it's been a while, Professor Hoffman, since we've gone up against the clock here at the legislature?
Well, it has, and look, Bill, I've got my own thoughts. I'm not speaking in my role really as a contractor with the governor's office, nor ASU. I don't know what ASU's position is on budget resolution or U of A's or anything like that. Just, you know, as an ordinary citizen, I would think that what some of their challenges are trying to figure out essentially whether to take this money that we see today and address one-time needs or make permanent decisions. And as we all know, you know, spending decisions can come and go. You can make so-called one-time spending, or you can even negotiate like Janet Napolitano did in 2006. She negotiated all-day kindergarten funded at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't last very long. It lasted about a year and a half. But she traded off a tax cut that took place in 2006, and that still is on the books. You know, despite all the state's troubles that followed 2006, we never rescinded that tax cut. And so it's the realization, I think, and I think Governor Brewer's op-ed a few weeks ago put it very well. I think that the concern is, you know, if you cut taxes, that's a permanent loss to the spending stream, to the revenue stream, forever because of the two-thirds majority to raise taxes in the legislature. And so some people are arguing for a kind of a, you know, go slow, and others want to seize the moment, and they're very comfortable with limited government going forward, and they want to make permanent tax cuts. And, you know, if those folks are in the majority, you know, that's probably what will happen. I don't know exactly what will happen. I'm not privy to that. Try to stay in my spreadsheets and my numbers and let them duke it out on the front lines.
What kind of money are we talking about for the state? How awash are we in dough?
Well, it's in the billions.
Wow.
Billions.
Wow.
Billions. And a year ago, Bill, at this time, we were worrying about whether or not we were going to make it, you know, whether or not it was going to be another 2009 all over again.
Yeah.
And but again, this was a year that, remember, they passed a skinny budget last year. They didn't increase spending at all. For a lion's share of the spending at DES, DHS, and various and sundry other places, the feds picked up the tab. We didn't even have to spend. And then this tranche of money that came in the form of, you know, direct payments to individuals, payments to governments, you know, universities got some, the Native American communities got some. These were all dollars that flowed in the billions. And that sustained economic activity. And, you know, people bought things. You know, that's another one, Bill. Last year, people stayed home. They didn't go to California for their vacation. They stayed here and sweltered. But in order to get by, they bought consumer durables like cars and houses and furniture and things, and all of that generated sales tax revenue. So our money didn't leak out of the state into San Diego like it does in a normal year. So we'll have to see how this transitions out.
Try getting some lumber for a remodeling project these days.
Oh, my gosh. we've got shortages. We've got supply chain bottlenecks, and so prices are up. So it costs more to buy these things, and therefore the transactions privilege tax kicks in at, you know, higher dollar values, and that generates money. It's a great time. I've seen this party before. In 1995, it looked like this, and we cut taxes. In 2005, it looked like this, and we cut taxes. And, you know, it's 2021. It looks frothy, and I think there's a high likelihood that we're going to cut taxes.
One final thought. You know, the just-in-time with the supply chain has just been such a part of doing business in this country now for a long time. Are we going to rethink that, Professor Hoffman?
You know, there's it's a great question, Bill. We're working at ASU with folks in Mexico to try to establish and build a system of supply chain linkages that link not only the state but the nation's economy more closely with Mexico. You know, part of the supply chain structure that we have is to take advantage of lower cost labor, mostly in Asia today. And products are produced in Asia, but that's A, a long way away, and B, in an increasingly politically unstable relationship between the U.S. and say, China. And so I do think there's going to be more rethinking in terms of trying to establish connectivity between Arizona and Sonora or further into Mexico or throughout the United States and the whole of Mexico. And you're seeing that, I think, in some of the business relocations that we've seen recently here to the state, to Pima County, Maricopa County, and Pinal County. Some of these businesses are strategically locating so that they want to be in the states. They want to be in a state that's friendly to business, and certainly Arizona is. But they also want to be in fairly close proximity to Mexico to take advantage of sourcing product from Mexico.
Professor,
so I think you're right on the mark there. That's something that's happening.
Professor Dennis Hoffman up at ASU, always a pleasure. Let's touch base in a couple of months for sure. Thank you very much.
Bill, be well, and best to everybody in Tucson.
Thank you very much. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. We love Mona's. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, that Danish Kringle and all the bakery goods up there. Find out what all the excitement is about. So many people have discovered, you know, people are looking for comfort food. There's no question about it. And they have found Mona's, and they've been doing a great business up there. They're open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. They are closed summer hours now on Mondays, but they are open right now for lunch. And if you want breakfast, that's fine too. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Check it out. Find out what all the excitement is about. We'll be right back on Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shell, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Recovering 4 weeks since the big accident.
Is it up that in Alaska. Long?
Yeah, four
wow.
weeks with a broken arm here, but I'm moving forward. The only way you can go, right?
Right.
How are we doing? Everybody's talking about inflation. They're talking about taxes. Let's start with inflation. It seems like depending on your political persuasion, you either think inflation is coming or here. Or it's nothing to worry about.
Well, inflation is always there to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans have been worried about inflation for as long as history has existed.
Sure.
And yet we haven't seen any in about 40 years. And so the Republicans are still, looking for confirmation bias and saying, well, you know, all this stimulus and the recovery is going to be GDP growth that will almost certainly create non-transitory inflation, by which they mean it's going to be here and it's going to be bad and it's going to feed on itself. And people, in anticipation of more inflation, will start hoarding stuff and buying stuff in advance, which just causes more inflation. And then you get this snowball, well, this is Arizona, some sort of ball rolling down the street. It's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
We have no indication at all that this inflation that we're experiencing now is permanent. We'll hear from the Fed tomorrow afternoon. They meet today and tomorrow, and tomorrow at, I think it's 3:00 Eastern time, just before markets close, they'll make, you know, some sort of prognostication about how they see the economy and where they see inflation going. There's no indication at all that they think that this is going to be other than transitory inflation caused by, you know, any number of things. Dr. Hoffman
up at ASU, yeah.
As he was saying, mm-hmm. You've just got so much pent-up demand. You have so many shortages in supply right now that there is nothing that you could expect other than inflation. And then we also measure inflation year over year. That's not a good way to measure it this time because last year we had deflation. So if you take a look back 2 years, this 4 or 5% in inflationary number really looks more like 3%, 3.5%. And that's not anything to get upset about unless it persists.
Let's talk about taxes. And Professor Hoffman was talking about the way Arizona, when we do get a little money like we've got right now up at the legislature, that tax cuts are pushed to the front of the agenda. Let's talk nationally about tax policy, especially these calls to tax the, quote, rich.
Well, Taxing the rich is always a popular thing for lots of people who want to feel good about taxing the rich, because clearly the rich haven't paid their fair share.
Yeah.
Say, you know, the Bernie Sanders and others, you know, on the left side of politics in Washington. Not clear what their fair share really is or what it should be compared to the rest of the world. Here in the States, they don't pay their fair share. Compared to what they've paid for the past 40 or 50 years, you know, they're paying pretty much what they've paid in the post-World War II era. The incremental tax rate for income for the highest earners in the late 1940s, early 1950s, until actually 62, was over 90%. They're not paying anything like that now. But we have this new super rich kind of category, because what these people are not paying is any income tax at all. And the reason they're not paying income tax is because they don't make income. They increase their wealth through investments in things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of those things could be real estate or precious metals or a lot of that, but mostly what those things are is stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So these people, and you know, that's the likely, you know, the likely suspects, Jeff Bezos, and the people who are multi-billionaires, they don't have salaries, but they get fabulously wealthy because the things they own are in essentially increasing in wealth. And we don't know quite how to tax that. Now, we know how to tax real estate. And every year you and I pay real estate taxes based upon a newly assessed version of the real estate we own.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes up every year usually. So we know how to kind of do that. But what you get is the Republican argument that says we shouldn't ought to tax people's wealth. We should only tax the things that we can measure. And it's really bad to tax stuff that is sitting there on paper and not really realized. And yesterday in the Star, we had the typical Republican argument from Jonah Goldberg, who's been saying this for, you know, a gazillion years, which tells us why taxing people's wealth is a very bad idea. But what he's not saying is that not only are we not taxing their wealth, but we're forgiving a lot of the stuff that they should be liable for when they convert it into either cash or some other investments, or when they give it through, you know, some sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Where they will it. Mm-hmm. You know, to their beneficiaries. That also has built into the law forgiveness, and that forgiveness means that not only don't they pay taxes on it when they own it, but they don't pay taxes on it when they pass it on.
Shelley, can you take a quick question?
Sure.
From a listener, 790-2040. Ross is with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, Ross.
Yes, thank you, and welcome back, Bill. I'm glad you're doing well.
I'm trying. Thanks.
Sure. Shelley, I just sold a house, and I couldn't believe the price I got for it. But the thing I turn around and talk about inflation, I'm trying to get a new house fixed. And there's no paint. There's no supplies. Everything is, they're blaming on the Suez Canal. They blame it on the COVID, everything. And you're right, there's short supply. So interesting, you could do well in selling a house, but you'll buy another house and you want to fix it up, you're in trouble.
So, Russ, are you a billionaire?
No, I wish.
Okay, so you know that K-shaped recovery that Dr. Hoffman was talking about, you're in the middle somewhere probably, and you're paying the cost of you know, some of the things you just identified, like shortages of supply. So, yeah, you did well in selling the old house. You probably had to pay a higher price for the one you bought, but now all the things you want to do to that house are costing more and more. That ain't a good thing, but it's probably transitory. Now, if it's not transitory, then you and I will get together and, you know, have a couple of drinks and complain about it. But because you're not a billionaire, you're probably paying some income tax unless you retired.
No, that's true. It's probably by the time I get through, because all of the money I did put in the previous house, I don't think I'll do well on it because it's costing me so much to fix this one up, and it's a pretty good house.
Yeah. So I feel your pain. I hope, you know, on the swap, I hope you got the living conditions you really want. But you're not the guy I'm talking about. The guys I'm talking about are these guys with huge amounts of money who aren't paying anything in income taxes, and we're running out of time.
Yes, the bell has sounded.
But it was my phone, and I apologize for it.
Okay.
But the real problems here are, is it fair that things like dividends and capital gains are not being taxed as they should, and are the rich really paying their fair share? And that's the debate that's going on, has been going on a long time, and I think it's heated up in Washington. And it's fair to say that we're going to hear a lot more about it. We'll probably talk more about it, Bill, you and me here on the show.
We will. Shelley, thank you very much. Dr. Richard Carmona is coming up next. 790-2040 is our live line number, the number that Russ called to speak to Shelley. That will be the number you can call in to speak with Dr. Carmona after we take our break on The Buckmaster Show.
CBS News Brief. California was the first state in the country to put in place a coronavirus lockdown, but it is now turning a page. At the stroke of midnight, it lifted most of its COVID-19 restrictions and ushered in what's being called a grand reopening. Governor Gavin Newsom.
At the end of the day, in the aggregate, the state came together, rode in the right direction, and we are where we are today.
The U.S. death toll, though, topped 600,000 today from the virus. It is really hot out west with temperatures at or near 100 in some places. Sarah Crosby is at a state park in Colorado.
Hot, like a stagnant hot.
A CBS News poll out shows most Americans want President Biden to take a tough stance with Vladimir Putin. The two meet tomorrow. CBS News Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
Democrats and Republicans alike want the president to take a tough stand, and Russia links cyber attacks are specifically the issue most want Biden to address with Vladimir Putin.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by Green Things. Green Things and Zocalo Village. Over on River Road, you can't beat Green Things for anything green, and we're going to need some beautiful green things after hopefully we get some summer rains here. But also check out Zocalo Village, some beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico. The 13-acre site is at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Live Line number to speak with Dr. Richard Carmona, 790-2040. Dr. Carmona served as the 17th Surgeon General of the United States and is a Vice Admiral in the Public Health Service Commission Corps. He is a distinguished professor of surgery at the Mel and Enid Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Carmona, in May of the pandemic year, was named by UA President Dr. Robert Robbins to lead the university's campus reentry task force. As director of the task force, he had headed up and still does the development and the execution of the return to the campus plan, and we'll be talking about what that plan looks like for the fall semester. Dr. Carmona began his medical career as an Army Special Forces medic in 1967. He is a combat-decorated Vietnam veteran. He also was, for 35 years, associated with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and he recently retired from that role. Dr. Carmona, always a pleasure to welcome you back in studio. How are you?
Doing well, Bill. Thanks so much. Nice to see you again.
Let's talk a little bit about how the whole, and when you think about May of the COVID year, May 2020, it seems like a long time ago. You talk about a long 12-month period, but how would you characterize how the University of Arizona handled the COVID epidemic?
I think the university has done a phenomenal job, largely because of the team that President Robbins put together, recognizing that this was a very complex issue to deal with, and drawing on all of the subject matter experts we have at the university in an organizational structure called an incident command system. And that's what's been running the university essentially during the last year and a half, plus or minus, under the leadership of Dr. Robbins. And it's done very, very well. We've done a number of things that are very innovative that other universities have picked up on. And we managed to keep the university open and keep our students, faculty, and staff safe during that time.
Was there a point, what was the low point of the year with COVID, and where are we right now with cases?
I think that the toughest times were when we were still trying to understand how this virus worked early on, the transmissibility, the vaccine not yet having been developed, and as that science was progressing, being able to keep our campus safe keep our students safe, continue with the mandate of education in a land-grant university. And, you know, President Province, you know, was a very astute, sophisticated leader. He's a physician himself, so he understood most of the challenges that we were dealing with better than most university presidents, having come from the medical field. So those were the best. But I think that really the thing that I give the shout out to is the multidisciplinary team we put together at the university that had an expert in every single area we needed to make critical decisions in order to keep the university safe and keep our students being educated.
What is the plan for the fall, Dr. Carmona? I see that ASU has decided that they're not going to mandate a COVID-19 vaccine for incoming students. However, if a student is not vaccinated, they will have to go through COVID testing. Mm-hmm. What is the plan at the UA?
In fact, Bill, just this morning, our incident command system was on a Zoom call mm-hmm. discussing these issues. We are looking at the science, but we're also looking at the legislative action, the governor, OSHA, CDC guidelines. So there's a number of guidelines we have to look at to make a determination. But what I can assure you and our listeners, what we will do will be based on the best science in the best interest of our students, faculty, and staff. And that's yet to be determined because we're waiting for the Board of Regents to give a final decision, as well as the legislature, which is in a budget session. But part of the budget may determine what we're able to do as well.
Will it be each campus making the decision, NAU, ASU, and UA, or is this going to be a statewide? Would you imagine it will be a statewide program that is mm-hmm. that comes down?
I think in general, the Board of Regents would prefer to have a statewide approach to this, since it is a state university system. Mm-hmm. However, there may be unique circumstances that will allow for some nuances. You know, NAU, because of their elevation, where they are, the weather, mm-hmm. different than Tucson. Mm-hmm. So I would say that that's yet to be determined, but I think that the regents and the governor would probably like it to be uniform across the state. It makes it a lot easier for people to understand these things, and it creates less a divisiveness, if you will, and misunderstandings.
Many campuses across the country are mandating COVID-19 yes. shots, correct?
Yes, they are. And Bill, we have to look at the precedent that's been set there. As you know, there's precedent because children, before they go to school, if they're in public schools, have to be vaccinated.
That's right. They have
if they have a religious preference not mm-hmm. to, parents, mm-hmm. or they have an allergy. So there's mm-hmm. an opt-out. And these are issues that we never thought we'd have to face on a national basis to protect the health, safety, and security of the nation in a pandemic. So there are a lot of opinions being generated by attorney generals, by different agencies, CDC, NIH, and so on. And so we're taking all that information in and hopefully going to be able to make the best decision by understanding what's best for the population, but also we are concerned about the rights of any individual who says they don't want to be vaccinated. And the challenge there being that in a democracy, often these are the challenges that we have to confront, that the individual right to do within the law what you want to do, even though it may be detrimental to the population at large. And those are the things we're struggling with today.
If you had to make the decision, where would you come down on it, Dr. Richard Carmona?
I would.
Would you say mandate?
Well, I would stop short of mandate. Or if you do a mandate, there has to be an opt out for those for religious preference, for instance.
Correct.
For allergies, just like the precedent that's been set with our schools. But on the other hand, some universities are mandating it because they're looking at the greater good of the campus. Here, we're trying to balance the individual right versus the collective right of society to be healthy and safe. So there's no perfect answer. But I think a thoughtful approach, which is what Dr. Robbins is doing with all of our scholars, you know, from legal, social, medical, scientists, asking those questions and figuring out what is it that we can do that encompasses the greater good of our society here, and really respects the rights of others who feel differently. That's a really tough thing to do, but it is part of being a democracy.
Are you disappointed Arizona is 35th out of the 50 states in vaccination rate? I think we're not even at 40% of adults.
Well, I'm concerned.
With the variants coming on, the Delta variant and these other mm-hmm. variants?
Well, I'm concerned because from the health standpoint, vaccines are probably the best scientific advancement in the history of mankind to prevent diseases that are transmissible. For instance, when you and I were children, your mom was afraid to send you to school because of polio.
You bet.
And then Dr. Salk and Sabin came along and we don't see it. And as you look at measles, mumps, rubella, many of these diseases now we prevent them from happening and they cause a significant amount of added cost, disability, and even death. This is another challenge for us now with a pandemic, with a new virus. So I urge everybody to get the vaccine if you're able to. I mean, I want to respect the fact that if you have a religious preference or if you have an allergy and a medical opinion that says that you shouldn't do that, I understand that. But everybody else should get it, not only for themselves, but because each and every person that gets vaccinated is helping to extinguish this virus from spreading any further. The more it spreads, the more chances we have of more variants, which could make it more difficult for the vaccine to be effective.
790-2040, if you would like to speak with Dr. Carmona, he would be happy to entertain your question or comment. Where did this vaccine hesitancy come from? When you were the Surgeon General, it was there.
Yes.
But where do you trace it back to, Dr. Carmona? You brought up the polio epidemics that this country had to weather. It was horrible. I know growing up in the 50s and early 60s, I don't recall that there was a big hesitancy at that time not to take the shot. Maybe there was, but where did it begin?
I think that there's a number of issues that you have to look at in history. And history, of course, is the prologue to our future. Back then, we didn't have an internet. Radios were where you got most of your information. Few people started having TVs mm-hmm. back then.
Yes.
Okay, so information didn't spread as quickly. There were, let's say, much less, if not any, conspiracy theories, you know, as to the virus mm-hmm. and who was trying to do what. And there was less politicization of this issue. You know, what we failed to do and what we needed to do was come together as a nation around a common invisible threat. Because whether you like it or not, we're at war with this invisible threat. And the, you know, analogy I use is in the Second World War, when we were attacked, and we all came together as a nation. There were no Republicans or Democrats. We were all Americans with a common threat that we had to defeat to maintain our democracy.
That is correct.
Today, this common threat divided us.
Yep.
And politicians used it to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the mask became a political symbol rather than a mask wearing for public benefit and individual benefit. And so as far as the issue of hesitancy, as communications advanced and people learn more, as we saw more politicization, both left and right of this, people then tend to want to get, who do I talk to when there's overlapping, confusing messages? We look at the African-American population, and they're hesitant because they remember the Tuskegee experiments.
That's right.
When the black people were watched to die from syphilis, so we decide what that normal, history mm-hmm. of the disease was, which mm-hmm. was reprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
So, but instilled in the population are these memories that they get from grandparents and parents who remember that, and they go, gee, can we trust the government? We have other populations, too, the socially disadvantaged, marginalized, who don't trust government.
Native Americans.
Native Americans, another one. You know, and the history there is, you know,
yes.
over a century. And then, you know, there's not one answer, but you have to look at each demographic and say, why is there mistrust? And in a lot of cases, the mistrust is warranted because the government has not acted in good faith in the past with many of these populations, and there's still that uncertainty. And I think today we are maybe more divided than I've ever seen in my whole life because of poor communication, political motivation, hyperpartisanism, conspiracy theories. So the average person, who do they turn to get a true answer based on the best science? That's a challenge.
And I remember interviewing you when this whole thing just broke, the whole COVID thing, and we hoped it would be like Pearl Harbor and that there would be a unified America. It did not work out that way.
No.
It became a polarizing situation.
Sadly.
We have more. My conversation with Dr. Richard Carmona will continue. It's Buckmaster on a Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. One of our great sponsors through the years, 10 years here now on the radio, has been our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. New Mexico has done a great job in getting the people vaccinated in the land of enchantment. So it's a very safe place to visit for sure for Tucsonans. And just a three-hour drive east of Tucson, here's the good one. The Buckmaster Show guarantee it will be cooler over there, I guarantee you, because it's a 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation. I usually say at least 10 degrees cooler, so this might be a great weekend to head over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Plan your visit now by going to southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Richard Carmona joining us for our conversation. Dr. Carmona, the 17th Surgeon General of the United States, with me in studio. The Biden administration trying to put some new life, Dr. Carmona, into the Surgeon General's office?
Well, I don't know about new life into it. I mean, I think that as
re-energize it, maybe.
Well, I would hope so, but you know, basically, the physician has been marginalized increasingly and has become more of a public relations position than really a true commander of a uniformed service of the United States. And both parties are guilty of that. I mean, the physician needs to be treated just like we treat any other uniformed officer that has a meritocracy, that you're promoted based on your contributions, your years of service, your competencies, rather than a political appointment where they make you, you know, an instant admiral and you've never been in a uniform service. That detracts, and it really detracts from the credibility of the service and hurts many of the young men and women who serve in uniform, who actually work hard, and then because of the political association, they're not seen as legitimate. And I think that, you know, we need to go back to the same way the Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and in fact, Public Health Service is one of seven uniformed services of the United States. And it should be treated just as the other uniformed services, based on a meritocracy, not politicized. And increasingly, we've seen more politicization where people move into those positions because of party affiliation rather than being the most competent person for the position, as you see in the Army, Navy, Air Force, in the promotional transition over the years.
We talked in our first segment about vaccine hesitancy and still a rather low vaccination rate in the state of Arizona. Maybe 4 in 10 residents have been vaccinated. We've got to get that higher because these variants are out there, whether it's the Delta variant or something else. The longer that COVID continues to circulate on this planet, we're really asking for trouble, aren't we, unless we get people vaccinated?
Well, it's absolutely true. It, you know, the public may not recognize, but you remember SARS and MERS.
Yes.
This is the same virus. It's just as mutated and became COVID-19. And so the faster we can extinguish it and don't allow it to spread to other people and populations and countries, the less likely mutations will occur that make it more difficult to care for or vaccinate against. And you know, we've seen this in other diseases as well. The more quickly we can get the population vaccinated, the transmissibility goes down and less likely to have mutations that could be problematic later. That's why I said earlier, it's not only about you, it's about you getting vaccinated to contribute to the community health as well. Mm-hmm. And when we have half the population in the country that still isn't vaccinated, that's a big risk that this virus can continue to move around. And we see it in the rest of the world. And you talked about the new variants that are coming up. So far, they still seem to be vaccinatable, but at some point they may not be if we allow this to go on too long and those viruses continue to mutate.
The general practitioner plays a role in all of this. When the general practitioner talks with their patients about are your vaccinations up to date, COVID-19 has to, I believe, Dr. Carmona, play a role in the conversation.
I believe so. I mean, I think in if we want to protect society in general and the world, we should be all aspiring to receive vaccinations for every vaccinatable disease. Measles, mumps, rubella, polio, smallpox. I mean, the long list, and any future vaccines that we have so we can live relatively safely. We don't want to start bouncing back and forth between pandemics and epidemics because people refuse to get vaccinated. And a lot of that is, you know, the fear, the mistrust that we've spoken about already, the conspiracy theories. Vaccines are safe, and vaccines are probably the greatest scientific advance in the history of mankind because, as I use polio, just half a century ago, you know, a little more than that, our parents were worried about sending us to school because of the kids in iron lungs, you know, and you think measles, mumps, rubella, tetanus, diphtheria, all of those. And every time we have an area that engages in vaccine hesitancy, and we've seen it in California with measles. We've seen it with whooping cough a couple of years ago, that when parents decide they're not going to have their children vaccinated. Yes, it is your right to do that for whatever the reason, religious preference or medical, but if you're doing it indiscriminately, you're actually creating problems for other people because the disease continues to spread. So again, it's not only about the individual, it's about the individual contributing to the community health and safety by getting vaccinated.
Dr. Richard Carmona, always a pleasure to welcome you to the program. I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to see you again.
That will do it for the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. Dave Ramsey's very popular show about money is coming up next on KVOI. Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon on behalf of Dr. Richard Carmona and John Couch, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Thank you very much.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. On the same day the United States surpassed 600,000 COVID-19 deaths, there are glimmers of hope. In New York, thanks to a 70% threshold reached for at least one vaccination, most restrictions are being lifted. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
That means we get to open up even more. That means we get to keep moving forward.
In California, restrictions were lifted when the clock struck midnight.